Hope everyone's doing fine, isolated in your house in the quarantine due to this crazy COVID-19 that's happening around the world right now. Welcome, my friends, to a brand new edition of the Brenton Not On Tour podcast. We're going to still do the travel cast, but for the time being, I'm also going to bang out some other podcasts and thought we would just name it different because I'm not on tour. Travelcast will be back with my co-host Mercedes. We're actually doing a bunch of new episodes in the coming days. But I also have some other stories to tell and some other people around that wanted to tell a tale. So I'm joined this week by my good friend Mike Pongratz. Mike, well, Mike is the intro guy from my podcast, and he also helps produce the podcast and puts a little shine on it when it's all said and done. Voiceover work, how he got into it, how we met back in Toronto over a Pearl Jam show. We're going to talk a bit of wrestling. Why not? We're going to talk a bit of Pearl Jam. We're going to do a bunch of different things. In episode one, part one of this, we're going to get into Mike and I's history a little bit about where we met, how we came together, how this whole thing with the podcast came together, what he's been up to, because he's been a super busy guy doing voiceover work for all these different companies, including the WWE. And that was kind of an interesting tale. So we're going to get into that. We're going to get an update on COVID and how I'm feeling. And then we're going to get into some other stuff. So settle in, my friends. This is the Quarantine Cast, the Brenton Not On Tour Quarantine Cast with my good friend Mike Pongratz. Settle in, learn something. Here we go.
You're listening to the Brenton Not On Tour Quarantine Cast. So far, he's taught you about good coffee.
Damn, Jimmy, this is some serious gourmet shit.
Good music.
I'm like this, you know, and then that becomes your thing. Music just does that.
And the secrets to good travel.
Exits. Okay, there's one back here.
And there's probably one over by the wing somewhere.
Now, thanks to COVID-19, he's here to make sure that you're all good during this time of social distancing and self-isolation. So sit back and enjoy as he broadcasts from any number of exotic locations like Costa del Balconia, La Isla del Garage, Playa del Living Room, and the always magical Puerta Vallarta. And don't worry, he's already had the coronavirus and beat it. Still, maybe keep a mask handy. Here's BD.
Welcome everybody to the Brenton On Tour Quarantine Cast. I guess that's what we gotta call it, the Quarantine Cast, because we're all in the quarantine. The COVID is amongst us, and people are having to stay inside and do their thing. I am joined in this episode by a very good friend of mine. You may just recognize his voice. I'm not sure, but please welcome as dramatically as possible, Mr. Mike Pond. Nice. Hey, buddy. How you doing?
Hey,
he
buddy.
Is the voice of the podcast. He is the real voice of the podcast. He's responsible for my intro and all the production and stuff that goes into it. When you hear it flow nicely, this is the guy that does it. I am outside in a beautiful 18 degree weather. You are inside in Ontario, and it is where?
It is the home of the great one, Wayne Gretzky. We are in Brantford, Ontario. Yeah, mm-hmm. This is cool. I mean, we were talking a little bit before we started this. I've only ever been on two podcasts. This is number two. I hosted a podcast a bunch of years ago with a bunch of voice actor friends of mine. But aside from this, the only other podcast I've ever done is our buddy Adams when they did the E&C Pot of Awesomeness. So,
which was some funny shit. Let me tell you.
That was some funny stuff.
You know, and I podcasting has been so new for me, but it's been a real fun journey. Don't mind the cars in the background. This sure mic is picking it up, but it's been a real fun journey, obviously going and with your help designing it from the coffee cast into music, into travel, and then obviously it'll go to life. But right now, no one's really feeling like traveling. I'm sure everyone wants to travel, but one's really thinking about travel hacks. No one's really thinking about great life stories per se. Everyone's just trying to get through this, including us content people that are trying to put out content. My co-host Mercedes is up in Whistler. They're completely shut down right now, so she is getting ready to launch her podcast soon. So we've put the travel cast sort of, it's kind of coming and going. It's not like going to be as weekly as we're doing, because I feel like I need to read, just kind of come in with some stuff and come out and come in with some new stuff. And as you know, you're the expert. there's no real rules, but we're just going to kind of keep going with it, you know?
And I mean, this is kind of cool too, because I mean, sometimes the best sort of podcast, topics or shows are ones that are so off the cuff and just chatting. And it's cool because again, we have worked back and forth on your podcast since the Coffee Cast. And by the way, you're doing a fantastic, this is where I blow smoke up the host's butt. But it's completely, you know, careful. Warranted. You've done an amazing job, and it's very cool that you have you've created this little realm, the Britain on Tour realm. And you're a great little interview.
It's been fun to put together.
And you've been able to talk to some really cool people, and now you've got a really cool co-host too.
Today as well. And here we are. But yeah, Mercedes is an old friend of mine, and we've got a great rapport. And she's my wife, and I and the kids will stay up at her place when she's out of town training sometimes in Whistler. And we'll go up, and she's been awesome for just giving that. And I thought, who better to have on a travel cast than someone that travels more, like, as much as me, if not more. When we're allowed to travel, and she's really, really, she's a riot. So far she's been, you know, most people are messaging me saying, keep her and you leave. And I'm like, all right, whatever.
But, that's always the way it goes. You know it's funny. Always get shuttled to the side.
Yeah.
But yeah, man, this is very cool. And, it's weird. It's sort of it's a weird thing for me because usually I'm used to driving shows as opposed to just kind of being like, all right.
Well, I figured we were due to chat, and there's been a lot going on.
Yes.
There's been a lot going on just in the world, but there, you know, I just went through something. You secretly just went through something rad, and and was part of this whole thing since January that shocked the world with our friend Adam, who had emotionally shocked the world with a return to the WWE, which was great. And you're, you know, the whole time putting the podcast together, you and I are texting back and forth, you know, old school wrestling fans like, oh, what'd you think of this? And what'd you think of that? And you're like, yeah. And then like, there's no way Adam's ever going to make it. And it was great. I was one of the things we'll get into that. But one of the things he touched on when he was talking about it was the element of surprise. And I was so happy I didn't know. So it was just fun that you got to be a part of that. And I'm sure
that was probably the hardest thing, because I knew when he got cleared, not too long after. He found out. And if you know, if anybody's watching that has the WWE Network or doesn't know what we're talking about, there's a documentary that they put out on our buddy Adam. And in the documentary, it talks about how he went to Pittsburgh to see the doctor and got the all clear. So back in September, like early September last year, I was on my way to a conference in Toronto, and Adam called me, and he's like, hey buddy. And I'm like, hey, what's up? And it was kind of a little out of the ordinary.
Yeah.
It was like, it was a Saturday morning. It might've been a Saturday morning. And he's like, hey, so I got some news. And as I'm getting the news, I'm driving down into a parking garage, and I'm like, hold that news. I'm going to lose you. And as soon as, he's like, okay. So I'm like trying to call him back, and like, I'm not getting through because he's got this call answer service. And then I finally get through. And that's when he told me, he's like, buddy, you're not going to believe this, but I'm cleared. And I'm like, what? So I've known since September. No. And it was one of those, it was like, you know, the circle of surprise. And
it was amazing. It was
we're talking about it, and it's like,
I loved not knowing. And again, people just joining us. I mean, you don't have to be a wrestling fan to appreciate this story. You have to just be a fan of somebody with a dream and a goal that had it taken away from them, and then they had to fight and claw back to get it with support of all the amazing people around them. Yeah. That's a life cast story, by the way.
Oh yeah.
That was already told. And so I guess I've lost that, but anyway, it was just a funny thing that, like, you don't need to be a wrestling fan. So, you know, to people listening, backing it up a little bit, which we'll get into Mike and I's history, but you know, one of the things that Adam touched on was being away from the ring for 9 years
Yeah.
and having that ability to surprise somebody for once, because you can't really surprise anybody anymore with anything. So the great thing about it is this, is that whereas I was like, all right, great, Mike, you knew since September and you kept it totally under wraps, which is your job to do. And I love the fact that you didn't let the cat out of the bag. And I love the fact that I love the fact that Adam didn't let the cat out of the bag, because whereas you knew in September that he was coming back, and the rest of the world had heard rumblings that he was coming back, you didn't get to experience me sitting on the couch at 21 going, wow.
Yeah.
Because it was super emotional, like as a human being. This had nothing to do with wrestling and the emotion of this. I was watching it going, watching him come out and then walk to the ring, basically emotionally walking to the ring.
Yeah.
But you could tell by his face. My son's face was like, what? And like, I was like, oh my God, look at this. Like, you know, I just couldn't believe that he was able to pull it off. And then hearing all the backstory, it was just really great. And so, whereas you had this amazing, you know, you're in from September on and you're there for the whole journey, which was have been, you know, which is awesome. But on the flip side, I'm also like, so happy that, you know, by the time it got to 21, I was like,
still a surprise.
What's going on? So it was really cool.
It was cool to find out. And then to be there in Houston for when he came out. And again, we knew he was coming out. They were filming some stuff. They wanted to get some reactions.
I saw you react on there.
Which is hilarious, because my wife, Carolyn, she was watching the documentary with me last night after Mania.
Yeah.
And she goes, what's that you call people that are like super fans that are really nerdy into wrestling? I'm going, Mark? She goes, yeah, who's that Mark? And I'm like, it was a really cool, exciting, because it's anticipation. You knew it's coming. And then the music hits. And I still say he has the best music since Hulk Hogan's, Real American.
I think you're right. And
Alter Bridge probably loves him for that.
It was funny because I'd sent him a message before all this madness went out, before all the COVID and stuff. I was like, wouldn't it be great to see Alter Bridge play out? And he sends me a text back going, do you really think you'd be ahead of me on this? I'm like, no, I just think it would be great. And I had just seen Alter Bridge like a couple weeks ago in Birmingham. So it was awesome and they're playing Metalingus. And for those of you who don't know, Alter Bridge is a rock band that provides Adam's, Edge's music. And it really is an amazing entrance. It really is an amazing entrance.
It suits him to a T. And if you ever get him on the podcast, get him to tell you the story about how Mark Tremonti basically introduced the song to him in sort of like rough demo form originally. It's a really cool story. And I think it's probably their most popular single, and it was never released.
No, and I have to play it all the time. It's really, really funny. And then it's odd to hear them play. I got to tell you, it's actually odd to kind of hear him play it live. It's sort of like any band that has like a song on a soundtrack, maybe, or they have a song like, even like Motorhead was playing Triple H's music live. And I'm like, it just feels weird. It's like, I know they wrote it and it's theirs and it's on their like first record or second record. But on the flip side, it's like, man, it's Adam's now. So it was just funny to see.
I feel bad for Miles Kennedy having to sing that, because it is not an easy song to sing. And that dude can shred like nobody vocally.
Well, I'm sure they were looking forward to WrestleMania. Maybe it'll happen at SummerSlam. But
fingers crossed.
But or next year in LA, which is only an hour and a half, 2 hours south of me.
So true. You're a little closer.
Fingers crossed. Maybe we'll go. For those of you that want to know about Mike, so Mike and I met in 2011, and this is an interesting thing how this came about. So, tying it back to Edge for a minute, and actually we're going to tie it back to Pearl Jam, but I was on tour with Pearl Jam and I was doing some shows across Canada, and we were doing Toronto and Hamilton. And the first Pearl Jam show in Toronto was the night after Adam's Edge Appreciation Night on SmackDown. And unbeknownst to me, they were taping it and then playing it. They were going live. I can't, but whatever it was weird. I never saw it. So I remember talking to drummer Brent Fitz, and Brent plays with Slash, and Brent and I had a had a speaker series at the time called All Access, where we were sending drummers out to talk about their life, almost like a live podcast. They would go out. Brent went out. We had Jeremy from Our Lady Peace, and all these people would go out. Michael Shree from Santana, and talk about basically in podcast form what their career arc was. And I had said to him at the time, we should try to get Jericho, because Brent and Jericho were really close.
Right.
And I think Brent had reached out to him and said, hey, what do you think? And it was something along the lines of he couldn't, you know, it was just jammed up or something like that. And I was like, okay. And no sooner did Brent and I get off the phone, literally get off the phone about Jericho probably not being an option, I walk out and I see you and Adam sitting in the second row or something. And I was like, what is going on? Like, just the fact that he had just retired and everything. And I'm like,
it was, but that wasn't me. No, I wasn't. That was his cousin, Matt, I think.
Oh, then it was Hamilton. Well, we met in Hamilton then, but it was Hamilton.
We met in Hamilton.
Gotcha.
Toronto, so, Toronto was first. And then
Hamilton.
And then Hamilton.
Okay. So that was like a weird, because then you guys came upstairs and everything. So yeah. So it was funny. So, I was just thinking about how ironic that was, and just, you know, and I said, well, I'd met Adam, and I was like, this is a fun, I think I said, this is a funny story. I was just talking to this guy about Jericho, blah, blah, blah. And I said, it's just weird that you're here. And then he started filling me in on why he was there. He's like, oh, I was here from last night, and Pearl Jam's one of my favorite bands.
Yeah.
Then,
that's an understatement, but okay.
Right. But so then it was just like, well, I said, you know, we'll be in Hamilton. And then somehow, then he's like, okay, cool, I'll come. And then you guys came, and it was great. And so that's how it kind of came together for Mike and I. And Mike and I just stayed in touch over the years. And it was really, really cool to kind of like realize that, you know, outside of the history that you have with Adam, just your story about voiceover and the things that you do. So give a once over here of what you've, you
know,
you guys,
notes?
The Coles notes of you guys coming through college, but not so much on the Adam side, but just what you have done personally out of the voiceover work.
Well, I mean, that's where we met. I mean, I went to, both of us went to Humber College for radio broadcasting, and that's, we kind of gravitated because of our sort of nerdy love for wrestling. And I had no idea at that time. So I think it was the first day I learned that Adam was, he was an indie wrestler. And that's when he was working with Sully's Gym with Ron Hutchison and Sweet Daddy Siki. And so all of a sudden I'm like, this, we're going to be friends, because like wrestling nerds all migrate to each other.
They really do.
And so, whereas Adam always had a really great voice, and I always figured Adam was going to be, he was, you know, but he loved wrestling. So he went
KRP.
He just, it's funny because I still have old cassette tapes from when we were in college, when we used to have to do shows and stuff like that. And his, one of his names that he used back then was Adam Jericho, which it's hilarious. So, but he went and did his wrestling, and he actually, I think his first match with the WWE was at Cops Coliseum. During, I think it was just after we graduated, or just before we graduated in 96. And I think that was his tryout match, or one of his tryout matches against Bob Holly at Cops. So he did wrestling. I stayed with radio, and I worked, you know, I up north, Elliott Lake was where I started. And I worked in Woodstock, Ontario at a great little station for a couple months. Then I wound up in Hamilton. Went out to Kitchener and helped start up a great radio station out there with a bunch of really amazing talent who are now, you know, really big. Roz and Mocha of Roz and Mocha fame. He started with us out at the Beat. I mean, he'd started elsewhere before, but that was where he really got his stuff. So I was a radio guy. I worked in production. I never had like the really great Rodney radio voice, because when I started in the 90s, the joke was, you know, the guys that had the big voices carried their balls in a bag beside them. Uh-huh. And mine were up in my throat, it sounded like. So I was a production guy. That's why I can do all the audio stuff, things like for podcasts and that. That was my first gig. But I learned pretty quickly on that, you know, a lot of the jocks when I started all had the same read. And then salespeople would come to me and be like, yeah, I want to do this. I want to do something different because, you know. And so I was the guy who just started doing character voice guy, or I would be like not the jock voice. And so doing that all those years, I ended up just doing a whole whack ton of commercials over the years. And then I met a guy at the station in Kitchener, a guy by the name of Jason Laborde, who I owe a great amount to, because he introduced me to my first agent, and he actually introduced me to the whole world of voiceover. And that was back in 2004, I think I got my first agent. And the first gig I ever did was for Much Music, back in the days when they still played videos.
Right.
Actually, I don't know how many videos they played at that point, but it was, they did a lot of original programming, you know, much Love and Hate 2005. And
how competitive was voiceover work at that point?
At that point, I joke at the fact, because now, you know, anybody that's got, you know, $200, a USB microphone, and
an asshole sitting on a porch in Cloverdale
can get into voiceover now. I mean, there are places online where you can sign up and, you know, be part of a pool of, you know, thousands of people. Back then, I say it was almost like a speakeasy. You had to know somebody who knew somebody who robbed somebody who knew the knock.
Yeah.
To get in. And that's kind of where it was originally. But still, there was like a really small pool of talent that always seemed to do the same stuff. One of the guys I worked with, he was also a voice actor, worked in radio with me. And we used to Jamie Watson. And Jamie Watson is the voice of comedy channel CTV, or it used to be Comedy Network, but now it's CTV Comedy. He's the voice of that. You'll recognize him. I met him at a party once, and he turned out to be like the most nicest, amazing, super creative guys, and really was one of those first, hey man, if you have a demo, like I can, you know, I can shop it around for you, like I've got a nail, I'll play it. And he was really, really cool. So back then, yeah, it wasn't a whole lot of people, but as years have gone on, the cost to getting into it is way cheaper. I mean, back in the days, you used to go to a studio all the time.
It's funny because you used to post these videos of like being on vacation and having to scramble to a closet.
Well, that's the other half to do something. Yeah.
And I remember when I did the first podcast, I did it on my phone, right?
Yeah.
And I was like, let's see if we can rescue it. It was just on SoundCloud. It was on the HD recorder. The HD recorder in this is pretty great, but I was like, you can tell it was a phone. Then I bought a little preamp. But then I remember I was like, in a scenario where I had to jump into a podcast pretty quick, and I was like, a mic would just go into a closet. I needed a quiet space. So I did something on my phone in a closet as an interview. And I was like, okay, I understand why Mike had to jump all of a sudden into something. And
for people that don't really know, like what I do, I mean, I don't have a set number of hours. I mean, there's a couple of clients that I work for that I have set times every week that will either go down to Toronto to Chorus Key, like the big headquarters of Chorus. Or I'll just record stuff from home, but it's never like a set time. So when I want to go on vacation, I don't get paid if I don't work. So I would take I would take travel gear. So we would go to Florida, and you know, that's when I'd be doing videos where I'm sitting in the back of my rental car as like Carolyn and the kids are in Disney. I will leave Disney, go out to the parking lot and huddle up in the back seat of my car with a microphone and headphones. And I've got, you know, like back then it was an old flip phone that I was talking to the client, and I would record in the back of my car because the acoustics of a car are actually not bad.
I've done one in a car. I think I did one with Dean Blundell as his guest. And I was in my car, and then I did it into the Zoom and then sent him the file. And anyways, it's funny because it's just interesting how I'm learning to go through this thing. When I'm traveling and I'm on tour, I've always got my stuff set up all the time.
Yeah, and that's
because you could get a text from anybody that's like, hey, if you got 20 minutes, I can jump on with you. And I don't really ask a lot of people. I kind of try to plan them out a little bit. But every now and again, something like today pops up where we're like, hey, let's jump on and do something.
Yeah, man.
You know, and then all of a sudden it's like, I need an hour. It's like, all right, I need 45 minutes to get set up. And it's like, well, I've lost the window. So I always have to be ready. So I'm always kind of ready.
Although over the years, I've lightened up a bit, and I've worked with some really like amazing, you know, clients that get it. Like they know that, hey man, take some time, go on a vacation.
Sure. And that's the way it should be.
But I still get the itch, and I like to bring my gear with me because you never know, like recording in a closet, not a problem.
Is there a mystery to what you do? Is it one of those things where you, like when we talk like this and I go, all right, Mike, let's let people know who you are. And you go, no, I'm Batman. You don't know where my voice is. And that's the gag, you know? I'll tell you what, let's do it like this, Mike. Whatever you're willing to let out of the bag.
Okay.
Whatever you're willing to let out of the bag for our listeners, voice number one.
Okay. If you feel the need to text during a movie, don't do it. That bright light and clicking is annoying to everyone around you. Don't be a Tommy Texter.
Tommy Texter. There we go. There's voice number
Tommy
one,
Texter.
Everybody. I'm going to get you to put some kind of thing in there after we do this.
I'll
you can do some kind of post-production
applause. Yes.
So everyone listening, that is Mike's voice number one. Yes, I am sure I've heard you on a couple of other ones the other day. I was listening going, wait a minute. So let's get voice number two. I want you to keep like the other 100 under the wraps, but let's give our listeners 3 that they might recognize.
All right. Let's see. What's recent one is like, if you've ever wanted to buy furniture from one of Canada's oldest and finest furniture establishments.
I knew it.
Yes. It's the scratch and save event at Leon's.
I knew it. Yes. I haven't even asked you about that one, but I knew it when I heard it. I was like, there's Michael.
Yes. Leon's. There he is. Nowadays, when people ask me like, oh, you're a voice guy. What do you do? I will use the Cineplex Tommy Texter. Like that's become kind of like the most recognizable one. But before that, this is going back to probably around the time that we met, I had been brought on to revise or revive the East Side Mario's. Hey, bada boom, bada bing.
I knew that was you, but they were still playing that out here. It's no longer here because the West hates the East. So anything East Coast has been kicked out. We don't even have a Swiss Chalet anymore.
I haven't been East Side Mary's in a number of years, but that for a while. And that was a cool one too. So, but beyond that, like if you've got kids that watch anything like Treehouse or Disney, you'll hear me every once in a while doing, you know, closed captioning is brought to you in part by.
Well, that's it. Now that you guys have heard the voice on the other end here that are listening in your cars and planes, well, not on a plane or a train.
This is the face that goes with that voice. Right. And now you know why I do what I do and I'm not
That's right. So now listen for Mike's voice. Even though this podcast is world renowned, you've probably heard his voice all over the world now. Yeah. This is
To the Brenton on Tour Coffee Cast.
Not really. This is the quarantine cast. What are we going to call this? Because I got to start putting out these other kind of casts.
You're listening to the Brenton on Tour quarantine cast.
There we go. Get the fuck in your house and stay in there.
But it's very cool because, again, you know, whereas we're talking earlier about Adam, like Adam is recognizable. Just you look at that's him, you know.
Yeah.
I'm the guy that it's like, oh, yeah, you're that guy.
And yeah, but you don't go like if you don't go up, it's. You can hide it. Like if you walked everywhere and were like using the Leon's voice, if you're using the Leon's voice everywhere, people would be like, hey, wait a minute. I know you. You can make a career doing funny voices. Like, I mean, or any kind of voice or anything. I mean, that's because the funny thing is like the people working really hard in the world hate this shit, but they also want to know everybody that's doing this kind of cool stuff. You know what I mean?
To be able to do what I do, like I love my gig. It's never really the same thing. And it's something that I feel like over the years I got good at and I'm working for myself. I'm my own business. I got to, you know, promote my brand, not my brand. That sounds like hokey. I try to be a decent dude to work with. And because I spent a whole bunch of years on the other side of the glass when I was working in radio as a producer, I know what it's like for the guys that have to edit, the guys that have to deal with the salespeople. So my mantra has always been, hey man, I want to make this as easy as possible for you. And so I've got, you know, some of my TV producer clients, like they're friends of mine because they're not just people that I work for or they have to work. Like, I'm like, dude, I've been in that side and, you know, they're like, man, you got that back really quick. And I'm like, dude, I know that you want to go home and you're probably dealing with a bunch of, you know, a-hole salespeople. Not that all sales reps are a-holes. I'm just saying Friday at 4:30, I've got a client that needs to be on Monday. I know that feeling. So my deal is, yeah, man, like I want to be as accessible as possible. And, you know, that's why I've built this studio, which has come in handy during this whole quarantine time because studios have had to shut down. Voice actors can't go to studios to record. So some business still has to be done.
And I was going to ask you, like, you know, I was quarantined up and isolated for 14 days. out of society after I returned from overseas and obviously tested positive and went through the whole thing. And I
scary time when you told me about that. That was,
it was a weird, but you know what? I heard from lots of people, including our boy down in the States there. And he was really, he checked in to see how I was doing. Man. And that was really nice of him. And a couple of other professional wrestler friends checked in to say hello, which is the weirdest thing in the world for me to have these people in my life as you.
That's cool, man.
But it was just a, it was awesome. And for people I haven't heard from in a long time, just checking in, people, it was great. Heard from a great deal of people. So anyone listening that that checked in, and just thank you. Thanks for that. It was really great. And my question, Mike, is now that this world is quarantined and all the rest of it, so all these businesses are shutting down, people are going on unemployment, things are happening, yes or no, whether we like them or not, like, you know, you got to stay away, that you can't work, there's essential services, blah blah blah. So now what's going on for you? Because now we're in a scenario where, without getting too personal, but how's Mike making money through this process? And, well, and what are you passing on to people for advice on how to get through that?
I want to say I'm in a bit of a different position, only because, yes, I'm a freelancer by all means, like an independent contractor, and I rely on getting gigs. And most of the stuff that I specialize in is promo. So the stuff that you hear, you know, like blah, 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 blah on Smithsonian Channel. Like I do a lot of that stuff. And TV has become everybody's best friend over the last couple of weeks, because that's all there is. So that stuff still happens. It's on the commercial side for me, where clients that have stuff that they want to promote and sell, now isn't exactly the best time, maybe. And, you know, there's certain aspects of what I do that have kind of slowed. But at the same time, I've always been, you know, I've always looked at my career as, make sure you're diverse enough to have your hands in a couple of different avenues, just in case, you know, something dries up. So I do, you know, promo, and that's usually a monthly thing, and that's kind of steady income, sort of, but it can end anytime when the next, you know, Mr. Big Voice comes along. So for me personally, a little bit of a slowdown, but it seems pretty, you know, business as usual. But that's also in part because I've, again, made my studio here. I've got the ability to connect anywhere in real time with quality.
And I would imagine the agents and stuff that are like, no one's really, are they still working? Are people still going, like, you know, if someone were to say, okay, I got no income coming in, GM closed, I'm sitting around doing nothing, but I know everything there is to know about car parts, so I'm going to start a podcast on car parts, or I want to be voiceover for a car part company, and I've gone and I've bought all this stuff on Amazon, and now it's at my house, and now I'm going to call an agent, and the agent's going to go get me car part work. Or the agent's going, hey, we're dried up, so whatever clients you have, you got.
This is a question that can go a billion ways. If you're talking specifically, and I've seen a lot of people, especially like a couple of years ago, when radio started to really shrink, when the bigger companies were laying off a lot of people, the first notion for most radio people, and I being one of them, was, well, what am I going to do? I have no real transferable skills other than back selling songs. Oh, I'll do voiceover because I've been doing it forever. The truth of the matter, when I got into it, and I was told pretty quickly, is that they don't like radio people because they sound like they come from the radio. They don't sound natural. So that was the radio people. You know, there's a lot of people that have discovered that, wow, I can actually, you know, pay to read audiobooks because they're huge now. And I can, you know, I can read commercials, or I can read things they're called explainer videos, which are basically those YouTube videos that, you know, describe a product.
You know, it's funny, Mike, just on a side note before I forget. So a lot, as fun as the podcast was, the joke was that you can use it to go to sleep or wake up with it. And so out of the coffee casting, people were like, you know, you really should do some calm work. You really should find some audio work to put people to sleep, because you're killing me. And I was great.
I tell you, I've had a friend of mine is an author. He's a really great author. And he approached me and he said, hey, I'm thinking about having my book made into an audiobook. And he goes, would you want to do it? And I'm like, absolutely not. There are some amazing audiobook authors, you know, and I've listened to some great audiobooks. A lot of like the real high-end famous ones that are done by the actual
Yeah.
Tina Fey does hers. She's great. But there are a lot of audiobook authors that you wouldn't know their names if you saw them, but they're fantastic. I think it's an art form. You have to have a certain skill set and a certain passion for it, which I don't have. For me, it's short form. I do training videos like e-learning and stuff, and I've done those over the years. And it's funny because I had a friend of mine whose daughter worked at I think it was an A&W, and they had to do a training video, like a training thing, and it was me doing like the training. That's the kind of long form stuff that it's not exactly the most fun, but it can pay fairly well. Right now, medical, wow.
Of course.
If you can read really big medical names and keep it somewhat interesting and not, you know, go to sleepish, there's a huge market there for quality narrators that can do that. And so when it comes to voiceover, there are areas that people are still going to be able to do decent money. When you talk to me about everybody else that's sort of caught in the quarantine and not able to work, that's where, you know, again, I've got some friends that can't work because of this.
Sure.
I'm looking at one here who, you know, your livelihood is
well, the same. We don't know what's going to happen with it. I'm standing by. We've been told that our business is recession proof because entertainment's the first thing that people spend money on when things happen. So it was the first
when it bounces back. Right.
So for now, I'm just kind of doing my thing and waiting. And thankfully our government's taking care of us a little bit. So no one's going to start. Well, we're not going to starve at least.
But I think the key here, and you know, maybe it's the whole glass half full versus glass half empty, is yeah. I really do. I'm very grateful that we're in the country we're in. I feel pretty optimistic that, you know, if we as a collective Canadian unit can smarten up and hammer down the spread of this and take the pressure off of the people that are stuck on the front lines doing like amazing work, you know, the doctors, nurses, everybody in the healthcare industry. If we can, I said it was kind of like, you know, when your mom or dad used to say, okay, you can go outside after you clean your room. The sooner you clean your room, the sooner you can go outside.
Exactly.
So the sooner we all kind of collectively realize, okay, let's try and minimize this so that we can get back to doing what we do. I have absolutely all the confidence in the world that it is going to bounce back a lot quicker up here than it may elsewhere.
Certainly feeling better. Thanks, Mike, for checking in and supporting and everybody else that checked in on me during the COVID. But things are looking up and I'm back to 100%. As you can tell, because we're banging out podcasts every single week right now, or having some fun and trying to do some content. You can also catch some stuff over on YouTube, some unboxing videos, and a few other things. Join me next week again with Mike as we get into part two, and we're going to get into a bit of a WrestleMania review. As he mentioned, our mutual friend Adam returned to WrestleMania this year, and that's you don't have to be a wrestling fan to listen to this story. It's very inspirational. So we're going to get into that. We're going to talk about the new Pearl Jam record and what might be next for both of us. So join us part two next week with my good friend Mike Pongratz on the Brenton Not On Tour Quarantine Cast. Thanks, friends.
Hi, I'm Emily Roger, and I host a leadership show called The Boiling Point with my co-host, Dave Vail. Together, we sit down with trailblazing entrepreneurs, thought leaders, and movement makers who are driving meaningful change in our world. The show is all about exploring the lives and perspectives of leaders who are making a difference. Join us for insightful conversations that challenge the status quo, spark new ideas, and inspire you to take action. Find us on Apple, Spotify, YouTube, or at BoilingPointPodcast.com.
I'm Jeff Woods, and I'm shining a light on music and the rock stars who make it.
He just was one of those people. He stood out.
He was a magic guy. He really was a magic guy. We all have force. He had the same amount of force as we all have.
This was before Led Zeppelin. Robert was full on. I mean, he was Led Zeppelin without the band behind him. He had the hair, the jeans, the whole thing, you know. And he was amazing.
The Records and Rockstars podcast, heard around the world and yours to hear wherever you get podcasts. All the episodes from JeffWoodsRadio.com.